Welcome to 1,000 Ways to Fly here on Brotherly Pod. And we'll get it out of the way early tonight. Tonight's way to fly is self-immolation after watching Sean Couturier banter on Twitter all goddamn day.
Oh my god. Jesus Christ.
Papa's back.
Hey, I'm here. That's me. I did it. I came back after 2 weeks. They keep bringing me back and I love it.
Yeah, I haven't fired him yet, so...
thank God. Thank God. After that, listen, if Danny Breer could keep his job after that trade deadline, I'm doing pretty okay myself.
Man, I'm going to turn everybody against you right away, huh?
Well, here's the thing. It's just like, I was sitting on it for the last 2 weeks, and honestly, I was giving Danny Breer a nice B with that trade deadline, but I'm kind of sitting more at a C with everything. Not particularly a fan of Eric Johnson. I understand why we got him, and it wasn't like that necessarily that big of a... like trade asset we really lost him for, but or we got him for, but I don't know. I feel like we could have just kept that pick and kept Ginning or brought up anyone else and still would have had the same impact or maybe a better impact. So just feels like we got two Mark Stahls on the team right now. Maybe just one slightly better.
Austin Matthews has 55 goals of this season. God,
how many goals did the entire Flyers have?
I was just about to look that up.
Jesus Christ. We're about to watch the Toronto Maple Leafs probably kick the Flyers in their teeth in. Ryan Reeves and Nick DeLaurier seem to be talking during the warm-up, so they're probably staging a fight.
Sure, that's one educated talk they got going on there. Goals for the Flyers are 23rd in the league with 198 goals for.
Okay.
And the Flyers scored. Look at that. 20 Whoa. Seconds in, 19 seconds in.
Well, what a statement they're making.
Owen Tippett. Oh, boy. Everything's all right, guys. Nothing's on fire anymore.
Yay. The tank is off. We're finally going to the playoffs. We're winning that Stanley Cup now. Owen Tippett got a goal.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I mean, I guess we have to talk about the big news tonight. The Flyers brought bracelets back to the stadiums. For a team that they haven't beaten since.
Did they give them to people before the game, or are they still doing it after the game because they learned their lesson?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about that. I thought it would just be
they'd
be
giving
them.
I saw they were giving them away, but I know for a while they started handing out like vouchers, and then you'd pick them up after the game.
That'd be smart. That'd be the right thing to do if I was them. If they ever learned their lesson, but. Feels like this Flyers organization never really does learn their lesson after the year they've kind of had. It's starting to really feel, I'm really getting the Hextall vibes after these last few weeks, especially with the trade deadline. I know you've been having them for a long while now. You've
last
had those
year
inklings.
And a half, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't really blame you at this point, especially after the trade deadline. Like, that's why I kind of give it a C, because they didn't really do anything to, like, help themselves, and just kind of felt like they wasted some moves. Like, you could have kept Allison here. Like, I'm glad Allison is gone in the sense of he now has an opportunity to play somewhere and like get a chance from someone with a coach who doesn't hate him for some reason. But
why Guerin?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Like, what does it matter?
Why not
like,
just what's... play Lexell regularly? Why not just call
exactly.
Wade Allison up and have him be your 13 forward? Why? I don't know.
Yeah,
why did they have a problem with the guy in the first place? The trade deadline is fine. Like, they got Walker for a first, even though now they've got Ryan Johansson to deal with. Which,
and that's
that'll
another
be
thing.
An interesting one to see how that plays out. But, I don't know. It was fine. I'm no more happy or angry with it than I was before. They buy out Johansson and Peterson and Atkinson and they cost themselves, you know, $10 million in dead cap next year, I'm going to have a problem with it then. But until then...
That's why I give it a good C, where it's like, it doesn't move the bar anywhere. That's why I can't really feel very overtly positive or negative. I just listened to the most recent Frequent Flyers you guys put out, and I think it was you who made a really good point about Ryan Johansson being the addition, and why have this guy who's just killing a culture when you have an entire organization who's been literally trying to run on culture and vibes? So now you just have a $4 million culture killer sitting around in maybe a hotel in Lehigh Valley with some quote-unquote injuries that he suddenly has now he's gotten traded.
Yep.
It's just that's just like these are the big head scratchers for me, and I don't know. The length on Nick Seeler's deal was pretty whatever. I think I said that enough when we had the trade deadline talks with Nick, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to avoid the subject of the Sean Couturier benching.
Yeah, well, in case you haven't heard, Sean Couturier was scratched because he sucks. And boy, people had quite the meltdown over this one today. And, you know, I preface every time we talk about captaincy and whatnot, I always preface it by saying anytime I put more than like 30 seconds of thought into this stuff, it just really, really annoys me. And because it just doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't, though.
You know, the whole idea that the previous culture of this team was so goddamn bad, and yet Scott Laughton, who's been here since, you know, 2012, was your de facto captain for the last year and a half, and then Sean Couturier, who's been here since 2011, is your new captain, totally seems to defeat the purpose of having a previous bad culture in the first place, if you just named those hangovers the leaders of this team. And then the whole thing with benching Couturier, like, this feels very much like Keith Yandel again, where the guy sucks, the player sucks, you bench the player, it fucks up some kind of, you know, in Yandel's case, it was the streak, in Couturier's case, he's sure, been the captain for 34 days. You know, the benching is deserved, the player sucks, you're not going to notice him not out there, but all it does is cause a complete media circus headache for him, and it makes them look like complete fucking idiots because of the way they're handling something. So, I don't get it. You know, why did they bother? And listen, we asked this question when Couturier was named in the first place. The fact that he was named captain did not surprise me. But it was, why was he named captain in the middle of February on a random day anyway? You know, why even bother? And then 34 days later, he's not even good enough to break your lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Deloria is playing and Sean Couturier is not.
He was sitting for... Or, like, he at least was sitting at the 4C for the last few games, too. Like, he wasn't really doing anything worth noting. I mean, he did, I think, get an assist in the last game, but...
I think he set up the Frost goal in the last one. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So, he's contributing. I don't know if he necessarily deserves the... I mean, so, he does deserve the benching in the sense of his play is not... up to standards, especially apparently not up to towards standards, but it is a bad look considering the timing of when this captaincy was chosen and how the kind of the state of the team has been really in general since January. The Flyers organization has been just a mess. I kind of brought some on Twitter, but it's like between you had the Drysdale trade, you had Carter Hart becoming, you know, nothing ever again. You have
the trade deadline dropping the gloves.
My stream just stopped.
You're lucky, you won't have to say they're not so even mad. Hitting each other. Hit somebody! This is an interpretive dance. There you go.
What are they doing? Shaking each other? Now I'm watching a commercial.
This guy.
Dude, I don't know how Nick Deloria is going to survive another year. He's going to have.
Not planning on fighting on this one, but yeah, I worry for Nick Delorier's health long term.
Have him sit a couple times just because I think his brain needs it.
He played exclusively to fight Ryan Reeves, is my guess. That's why he's in the lineup right now.
He's trying, well, I think Torts is trying to do everything he can.
He's
going to
play 3 minutes of hockey the rest of the night. He was here exclusively to fight Ryan Reeves.
I believe that too. I think Torts is trying to figure out any way to get this team to have a win against the Toronto Maple Leafs, who, like I previously mentioned, have whooped the Flyers' asses for the last few years exclusively.
Yeah, 2019 was their last win, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I saw on Twitter. And, it was.
I mean, that's been, you know, the Flyers are not sitting pretty at the moment. They're still third in the Metro. They have 76 points. This is their 69th game of the season. The Capitals won last night. They have 75 points with now two games in hand. So they're right there. And the wild card is tightening up as well. Look over into the Atlantic. It is the Lightning with 78 points, and the Red Wings have 74. So it's tight. If the Caps jump the Flyers here, things are going to get very interesting. And, mm-hmm. you know, really the story of the last few weeks for the Flyers has just been failing to capitalize on opportunities when they've been granted to them. You know, that weekend series at the end of February with the Rangers and Pittsburgh, dropped them both. They go out there, they get beat by the Capitals on March 1st. They go out there to the Florida trip, they barely squeak by the Panthers again.
And they get destroyed by
the... And then get fucking destroyed by the Lightning. They barely beat the Sharks. And then they lost to the Leafs and to the Bruins. And their upcoming schedule, they have the Leafs right now. Then it's Hurricanes, Bruins, Panthers, and Rangers, who are the rest of the best teams in the East. So,
exactly.
You know, they really have not helped themselves at all through most of this. And now it's coming to this. And they're trying desperately to figure something out here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily hate the lineup they have.
I did find it funny, by the way. DeMarco tweeted out this morning that Philadelphia's sole target for the rest of the way is icing the best lineup to make the playoff. The Boston game clearly felt like a breaking point, and even the bottom pair fourth line roles, it feels like they're going younger. No more ice time based on respect and reputation. It took them 69 games and for their playoff spot to be in serious jeopardy before they realized that they should be handing out the best possible lineup every night based on giving it to these fucking washed-up veterans out of respect.
Well, I did want to kind of talk about that because that was a very interesting tweet DeMarco tweeted. Yeah, that's kind of been the big question mark throughout the season. I think we've talked about it ad nauseum. Why the hell are we just letting Cam Atkinson and Mark Stahl have minutes over anybody we've named before? Literally, like Sal, Brink, Andre, Adder. We've named it. We've said it a billion times, and everyone has yelled in our faces saying, those guys are not going to be NHLers. Those guys are clearly just going to be career AHLers. And it's, you know, based on what, you know, what evidence other than they've played maybe like 30 games altogether in their entire NHL career, all four of them. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know. It's really baffling to see, but I'm glad to see that they're figuring that out finally, or at least just kind of,
At least for a game or two.
Yeah, let's see what happens here. But let's see if they actually come out and win today. I think this will hopefully put us on a good trend of they'll keep something of this lineup together, and maybe they'll keep Mark Stahl in the press box for the rest of the season. I mean, my hopes for that are very low, but God, I have to hope I've never seen Mark Stahl in a Flyers jersey for the rest of the season.
We will. He'll be back.
I know he will. It's so interesting though with this whole captaincy thing. I've been so confused on the messaging they've been trying to place. You know, you talk about a rebuild, then you have Keith Jones going on to WIP going, oh, we told the fans it was a rebuild, we told the team it's not a rebuild. You have a very quiet, no, not quiet, but not really like moving the needle kind of trade deadline. You got what you got for Sean Walker, and that was acceptable. And now you have just pandering move after pandering move. It's starting to make me believe that the meeting Dan Hilferty and Danny Briere had was, I want to make this team a lot of money. I want to just get a lot of ass in seats. So we'll just do whatever we possibly can to get those asses in seats. We will get the double logo. We will change the locker rooms. We will say it's a brand new era of orange, except, just kidding, our captains and alternate captains have all been here for the last somewhat decade. We're going to just give only veterans the ice time they need when we have all these guys who are ready to make the jump to the NHL and see what we have with them. It's not really much of a year one rebuild, and it just feels a lot of pandering. The goal song, having the different Flyers nights.
You know, this is stuff we've been pointing out for the last 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I know.
It's all coming to a head. Yeah.
I'm just all kind of, you know, as we're getting closer to the end of the season, I feel like it's fair to kind of say this is not the Philadelphia Flyers or a brand new era of orange. It is just a era of pandering to get asses back in seats so they can at least look like they're making a profit again, because they obviously weren't making a profit the last few years. I mean, look how empty those seats were last year. you know, people were not coming to the games. And I mean, I wasn't even watching the games. I watched maybe four games the entire season last year. Definitely not the case this year, but, you know, there's nothing to be excited for about this team. And it's, you know, I was hoping at the beginning of the season, I would find something to be excited for. Jamie Drysdale has been somewhat the closest thing, even though it came at such
all 10 games.
Exactly. And it came at honestly an even greater cost, because I honestly, if things didn't go down the way they did and Gauthier wasn't the way he was, I kind of wish he was still on this team, or at least like in this team's future. Because now, you know, going into a season with a lot of question marks, I feel like we've either not answered those question marks or gained even more now that we've lost top forward prospect and your goalie of the future. So now you've just shoved Ersson into a role I don't think he's ready for, personally. Like, he's going to do it, and I think he's going to do as well as he possibly can, and I respect that from him. But judging from just how much he was ran to the ground in Lehigh Valley, from what you've told me about, I just don't see him being as sustainable. If Sandstrom can be at least a decent backup and help him through the games where he's exhausted, maybe you got something here, but it's going to be a first playoff exit if we squeak in, but I'm afraid of how badly we're going to get beat in the playoffs. It's going
to
be definitely
their best
like a
chance to succeed is hanging on to this third and playing Carolina. Mm-hmm. If they drop into one of the wild cards and all of a sudden they're playing the Rangers of Boston or Florida,
they don't have any chance. It's a
confidence
series for whatever that team is, because they just have to beat those guys in the dirt and get their team rolling. And that's all it really is for them. We'll just be the practice squad that gets the shit kicked out of them until they can get to the second round and actually play against the real team. And, you know, do you think we see Drysdale or Ristolainen in the playoffs if we do squeak by?
I don't know. If none of them are coming back, you know, well, I guess it's unlikely either one of them come back during the regular season. I can't imagine that an extra week and a half would be the difference maker there. But yeah, I don't know.
They're skating.
Yeah, they were both skating this morning. So whatever that means. It means Ristolainen's still alive, which I guess is good.
Well, yeah, you haven't really seen anything about Ristolainen since
he got
injured.
Been on Ellis Island for the last little while
there. That's a good way to put it. Which they finally put on LTIR, by the way. If we want to keep talking different Flyer news. I don't know why
they physically
it took so long.
Couldn't call up Ginning and Lexel without doing it.
Hey, Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know why they just weren't doing it before. Well, there's Tortorella. Look at him. Looking as grimacing as possible because he can't play Mark Stahl tonight. Can't do it.
That Couturier quote, since they just played that fucking video on the thing. Yeah. You know, all kinds of gigantic piss baby quotes on here today. The most notable being, it's frustrating the way we've been treated around here lately, but it is what it is. And just fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Again, this goes back to the culture. Your immaculate culture is crumbling at the first sign of choppy waters. He gets benched and he's fucking pissing his pants about it.
Everyone's turning on, it's noticeably that like more people are turning on Torts with this decision. And I guess kind of so. It is a very risky move, and if it just kind of blows up in the Flyers' face, you do risk losing the team. I know something we were talking about in the group chat, but I don't really get it. I get it from a standpoint of, yes, he's a player who hasn't been showing up, and he needs to kind of have that accountability, and this is kind of towards his MO. He did this with Konechny, did it with Hayes, he did it with all these people, and you know they all responded in kind, whatever, maybe positive, maybe negative, and I guess this is just the next trial for Sean Couturier after having two back surgeries and missing two seasons or two and a half seasons. You know what I mean? So we'll have to see if he kind of jumps back into the lineup for this Carolina game, but I don't know. I'm kind of waiting to see what ends up happening or how he kind of responds to this benching.
What happens
he's already
if they win
there.
Tonight? Does he stay benched to keep the momentum the same?
I would imagine.
That's the way they handle the kids.
I mean, I would hope so. If they're going to stay consistent with how they're going to rule, because if that's not going to be it, then just send Brink and Lexel down to Lehigh Valley.
And
let
speaking
them
of staying consistent, we'll talk about that in a second. Don't you worry about it. But like,
Hold your horses there.
You know, I pointed this out because I'm a fair man after all.
Sure.
You know, when the idea that we need more from player X, so our solution is to scratch them. I always thought that was a very, you know, Brink played poorly, so he has to sit in the press box for 3 weeks before he played. That's not... how can anybody rebound if they don't play?
Yeah, you're not learning.
And of course, people are like, oh, well, they get to take it in from up top and watch a little. I'm like, listen, if you want to use that... I think that's a bullshit excuse for someone like Lexell and Brink for rookies, let alone a guy who has 800 fucking games under his belt. But I don't know. I always thought there was some very flawed logic there. I mean, this was more of a teaching moment than anything. But...
I can see what they're trying to do. I just don't think it's working. Because, one, Brink keeps getting put in the fucking press box. And how is he going to learn after getting a tongue-lashing from John Tortorella sitting in the press box and not learning how to mechanically move and understand how to play his game a little better? Sure, you can visually watch all you want. And there is some sort of merit to that, I'm sure. But I think... the old saying goes, practice makes perfect. You need to actually experience things to learn things. So he has to learn, oh, I have to be a little bit better at my defense. He has to actually physically be on the ice and learn that shit. The same thing with Lexell. And you're not even giving them the best opportunity because they keep putting him in the bottom six, both of them. Yeah, you got to earn your time. I'm sure that's always been hockey culture. But like, these guys are... top sixers or projected, like they are definitely middle of the top sixers. You know what I mean? They like Sells fantastic on the power play in the AHL, and Brink just as soon as he got sent down was just
11 points in 11 games. Brink
tearing the fuck up, dude. It stinks. It stinks that like these guys don't get the proper looks they get. But then you know you talk about that and people will go, they haven't earned it. They're not. They're just AHLers. They are meant for the bottom six. They're not meant to be within the elite. And like, no shit. None of these team members are meant to be elite. Not Travis Konechny, who has actually been, you know, pretty invisible since coming back from injury.
I had somebody do that the other day with me when it was Lexell. Lexell got recalled. He's in this game tonight, of course, on the fourth line, because why would they ever use him properly? But his AHL stats are just fucking phenomenal right now. He had 6 points in 2 games last weekend. He's riding a 5-game point streak, in which is 4 goals and 8 assists. He's got 17 points in 10 games since the start of 2024, and he still leads the Phantoms in goals with 19 and has 38 points in 36 games. And it's like, give him a real opportunity. You know, because they should, you see.
I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, and that's something I actually want to talk about, because... What makes it like an AHLer, an NHLer? You know, what is the criteria? Because I feel like the goalpost keeps moving for these guys, just so people can have their arguments and defend Tortorella and defend the organization.
Pretty much. I mean, it's their way of saying, well, our players, and the point I was going to make here was that I had a guy, well, you know, who's going to sit? Is it Tippett? Is it Fireby? Is it this one? I'm just like, these are all 30 to 40 point guys.
Yeah.
You can easily replace any of them. Like, except take Morgan the Frost. Fucking orange color glasses off for 5 seconds. I guarantee if you put Ollie Lexell in a top six role consistently over the course of a full season, he can do better than 35 points.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, no,
he can't possibly do worse than the rest of these shitheads.
And that's the thing is like, and listen,
for Ollie Lexell, this guy, the fact that he can tear it up in Lehigh when he goes down there for these brief periods leads me to believe that he is learning quite a bit by just being with the NHL team. He's just not getting that opportunity to prove that he can do it because he's being limited minutes or just scratched. He's never getting that top six opportunity to prove it. If this guy's putting up points, I don't expect him to put up Alex Ovechkin-level production at the fucking NHL level like he's doing in the AHL. Of course I don't expect that. But you're telling me this guy can't contribute when he's doing that? Fuck off. What are we developing for? What's the point of prospect if you have guys that are prime game guys? Same with Tuomala. And no, granted, he's fallen off a cliff big time ever since the All-Star break. But Like, these are guys that have the talent. They clearly do. Put them up there with these guys. If you can find regular NHL minutes for Cam Atkinson, including power play time, I'm pretty sure you can find a fucking role for Oli Lexall to do the same thing.
And that's the thing. It's like, you have Cam Atkinson, you have Nick DeLore, you have all these guys who could easily come out of the lineup and no one would fucking miss them. I mean, Cam Atkinson's out tonight. He doesn't deserve to really be in. I'm sorry. He's a nice guy. And so, I hate to be like a mean person to him, but
he sucks. He's 140 years old. It's over. Get over it.
Yeah, he's done. He's washed. He's probably going to get bought out at the end of this year. And that's just because he can't hack it anymore. He can't hack it like he used to. You know, he had a decent, like, inaugural season here, but after that...
He's 35.
He's old.
Yeah.
What a rebuild when we have... How many 30-plus-year-olds do we have on our team? We have... Sean Couturier is 31. Cam Atkinson's 35. You have Eric Johnson, who I think is also 35. And Mark Stahl, who's, like, 35, 36.
Couturier, Atkinson, Johansson, Lawton is 29. DeLaurier is 33.
Okay.
Eric Johnson is 35. Mark Stahl is 37. And Mark Stahl is 37? Yeah. Ryan Ellis is 33. Ristolainen is 29. Nick Seeler is 30. Cal Peterson is 29.
And yet people argue that we have a lot of young guys on this team.
I always think that's funny. Well, Daniel, they have incorporated the youth. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, they didn't completely screw up Owen Tippett. Congratulations. The problem, especially under the guise of a fucking rebuild, is that you have to incorporate these guys every year. And on the whole, they haven't done that. Yeah, you know what? They haven't given up on Forster, which I find incredible that this guy defied all the odds to succeed and eventually develop this season. But it's like, you know, you got to work them in. And, you know, Zamula gave a hell of a quote the other day. I'm going to try and read it word for word here if I can find this fucking tweet. But,
Oh, is it the Crosby one or whatever?
Kevin Kurtz, yeah. When you're playing your first game against new players like Crosby, Matthews, or whatever, you'll be like, okay, I need to slow them down because these guys are very skilled and very good. But now I'm like, fuck it, I'll go play against them. It's a dream. It's fun. And it's like, you know, all these fucking assholes on Twitter that go, oh, it's been one game. Lexell's done. He's never going to play. They can't suck. And it's like, that's a hell of a point Zamula made. Like, it's got to be fucking intimidating playing in the NHL against these top guys and to learn, even the game speed, the difference from the AHL to the NHL, there's a difference. Like, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to play them in the NHL, and you have to work through and adapt through their problems. You can't go, oh, Brink scored 2 goals in 2 games. He made 1 defensive mistake 3 weeks ago now, and he's still paying for it. You know? It's like... You got it. There needs to be patience with development under the guise of a fucking rebuild, especially.
Exactly.
And they just haven't done any of that. Like, on the whole, they have failed pretty badly when it comes to development this year.
It's like, you know, I it's probably a shitty analogy, but it's like taking the, when you were transitioning from training wheels to a regular adult bike, did you fall off the first few times?
Some shit a couple times, yeah.
Exactly. Like, you're going to have a bad defensive play. You're going to get your shit rocked in by the coach. Like, but the opportunity comes the next game when you learn from that. So I was like, I'd be more fine with Brink being sat if he had, like, 5 games where he was doing the same exact shit he wasn't learning. Then Torts can go, all right, you're sitting out, you're watching. I want you to sit and watch exactly how this person or this person is playing and how they've been playing defensively. Mm-hmm. But, like, he's literally come back, getting called up, called him back into the lineup, fuck up, and then he sits. And it's like, how do you learn from that? Like, and then going off your Zamula quote, that's just added pressure. Because now, not only can you not fuck up because, you know, you don't want to look bad, if you fuck up, you lose your ice.
You're punished.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Like, so, like, either you either have the drive because it's like, okay, I have to be this perfect hockey player, or at least perfect in my role, or I'm gone. Or, you know, what's the fucking point of trying? I'll just go to the AHL and I'll actually play some minutes.
They gave Couturier a full month of squandering before they finally scratched that guy. Like, his decline happened in the middle of February. It's now the middle of March.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and by the way, speaking of the Phantoms, they clawed their way back into a playoff spot. They're currently sixth in the Atlantic. And then they recalled Lexell and Jinning. They play tomorrow. The Phantoms play tomorrow. Like, if you're not going to play these guys in the NHL or give them very limited minutes, like, you may as well just send them down and let them go to work and try and get this team into a goddamn playoff spot. But
they could at least have some playoff experience down there. You know, it'd be great if they could get some playoff experience up here, depending on how. Well, I think it'd be good playoff experience regardless, but it might be better if they were in more of a winning culture down below. And maybe if Ryan Johansson gets his head out of his ass and just goes down and plays in the AHL.
He's got injuries.
The head out is in his ass. That's the injury.
Head in your ass-itis.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, was he hurt before? Was he hurt before when he was playing in Colorado?
No.
Yeah. Or maybe, I mean, maybe he had a lingering injury. I could obviously say that, and then he's just using that excuse to not play. But, like, fuck,
he's
man,
using
I don't
that excuse
play
to
the
not
Atlanta.
Get bought out is what he's using that excuse for.
Well, I know that, too. Exactly. He's going to keep his payday.
Feel like reverse tampering or something.
I feel...
I got an owie! I got an owie! I got a hangnail! It can't buy me out!
You can't touch me. I can't shoot a puck, but you can't buy me out. But fuck, man. If I was in Ryan Johansson's situation, I'd play the same exact card because fuck, dude. If I got traded and immediately put on waivers,
especially to Philadelphia of all places,
like I'd not want to play either. I wouldn't want to be a part of this organization. They don't have any faith in me. What does that say? You don't even give them. Like when I heard they were trading for him, I was like, I mean, he can't hurt in the center lineup. Like,
he can't possibly be worse than Sean Couturier.
Yeah, who's he going to be worse than? Like, Noah Cates, who's been kind of invisible this season? Like, he's whatever. Ryan Poehling is untouchable. And then Scott Laughton, who almost got traded, theoretically. You know, he was definitely probably in some talks. You know, like, where could he have hurt? And then I liked him going to the Phantoms, too, because he could have filled that a role Anisimov filled last year.
Yep.
I liked him in the AHL. I liked him kind of teaching those guys. That's a good way to develop your players. Have a guy who's, you know, actually shown some success somewhere, at least it was with the Predators, and show, you know, Lezinski. Well, is he still out?
He came back last weekend and got a hat trick in his second game back.
Look at that, dude. See, with Ryan Johansson, maybe you could have gotten, you know, three hat tricks.
The hat trick of hat tricks.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's just that this is where I go with the messaging with the organization that just they don't know what the fuck they're doing, and they're flying by the seat of their pants, and they're just letting every kind of decision roll off.
Which is what we've been, you know, saying all year, and we've been called negative and idiots and all that shit, and it's finally like, hey, you know what? Dan the Flyer fan, as usual, right all along.
Like, it's just hard to get excited for this team because there's no direction. There's no future. There's no... All there is Mishkov. And, yeah, I'm excited for Mishkov. I hope he does come. But, great. Who's he gonna play with? Nick DeLaurier? Scott Lyon?
Farabee and Travis Konechny will be under contract till the end of time.
Morgan Frost will get a max deal because everyone thinks he's so freaking great.
Yep.
I want to, like... What is with Morgan Frost parade lately?
God.
Like, I just want to know. Like, it's just, it's I don't even just talk about Meltzer. Like, who fucking cares about Meltzer? That's just a given at this point. Let's just talk
how does anybody convince themselves that their 35-point player may as well be Wayne Gretzky?
Why is it that?
Spoiler alert, everyone. On the upcoming episode of Freaking Flyer, which will be up, I think, Sunday, we do about a 20-minute segment where I yell my little heart out about Morgan Frost.
For
the fucking 100th goddamn time. I just feel like every few weeks we have to talk about Morgan Frost because people just overvalue the fuck out of this guy. I don't get it. I'll never understand it. I don't know why. How have we of an organization gotten to this point in the first place? When I grew up and it was, you know, Gagne and Forsberg and Primo and Desjardins, and in my later years it was Giroux and Simmons and Jake Voracek and all that shit, and here we are, 35-point Morgan Frost is the guy we're pretending is a star.
Yeah.
How did this happen? Has it just been that long? And granted, it probably has. It's been
it has to be
15 years since the Cup run, but yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how we come to this conclusion.
it's so crazy how last year everyone was like, sell the fucking team, everyone can go, there's no one safe, and then now it's, no, but we can't trade Ryan Poehling because he's a good guy. We can't trade Nick Seeler because he's a good locker room guy. We can't trade Scott Laughton. He's a leader. We can't trade any of these people. We can't trade Morgan Frost. He's gonna have a breakout year next year, where he's always gonna have a breakout year every year. It's like, he's flashy. He's fine. He's not bad. Like, I don't think Morgan Frost is necessarily a bad hockey player. He's just not, like, people keep comparing him to, like, Trevor Zegras, and God damn it, I'd much rather have Trevor Zegras on this team than Morgan Frost at this point. You know, it's kind of crazy. We can't trade Morgan Frost or Trevor Zegras. We can't trade Travis Konecny for Trevor Zegras, because Travis Konecny is who you build a team around at 29 years old, 27 years old, sorry, could be 28. We'll be 29 by the end of his contract. Like, and then he's going to get a max deal. That, honestly, I think I'll be out if they give him a max deal next year or in the offseason. Especially in the offseason. I'm out if they give Travis Konecny an extension in the offseason. This offseason.
I mean, they are. We're going.
I mean, I'm out. I'm honest to God. Like, you're just wasting time. You're just wasting time with these people. They are not, like, you see what they've got. They're a hardworking team. They're not bad, but they don't have that next gear to get you to the Stanley Cup. I do not think this team could last in a 16 game postseason, or plus more, but like 16 games. I don't think they can get 16 wins.
If they sign Konecny to an 8-year extension, he'll be 36.
Exactly. That's disgusting. Like, why?
And what's, if they go nuts with the AAV, that's even worse.
Exactly. And you know, you've always talked, you have said repeatedly, all our forwards are signed.
All 12 are already under contract next season.
Where's the room? Where's the room to add anyone?
There isn't room. They don't want to add anybody. They want to run it back for culture reasons.
Yeah.
I don't believe for a second there's a big change coming this summer.
I
think they're going to swap out Mark Stahl for another random depth guy for good leadership, but it's for the most part just going to stay the same. I don't think there's anything coming this summer.
Which is crazy, because, like, you could obviously make Travis Sanheim that guy easily, because he's been here the longest. And, like, he's not great, but at least you could make the excuse that he could be that veteran presence at this point. And he's had, like, not the worst year. He's, you know, starting to kind of teeter by the end here. But, like, why do we need to add some fucking 36-year-old homophobe to instill culture? Isn't that what Nick Seeler is for? Couldn't he be the culture guy? Couldn't you just have him stay?
I mean, you do have him stay. That's why they gave him a fucking 4-year extension.
With 2 years, no movement. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, why?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. This is where the Flyers are perfect at making moves that in a vacuum all, you know, can make sense.
Perfectly average moves that are not terrible, but they just don't amount to anything collectively.
If you look at the big picture of every move they've made in the last few years, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing, or makes the team somewhat marginally worse in the senses of, like, signing Mark Stahl. Because, like, yeah, it doesn't hurt to have him there, but it does kind of actually fucking hurt to have him there. Because now you have this just dude going slower than a fucking traffic cone on the ice for veteran presence. Cool. All the D-men can, you know, go slow and not defend. It's ridiculous.
I don't know what their plan is, but I don't think there's anything big coming this year. I think this roster gets run back primarily its entirety. Well, and
there's nothing really to kind of look forward to in the offseason. Who's going to be available? No one.
Yeah, it's a pretty shallow free agent pool, and you know, we're a little too early in the year to get a full scope of what the trade market's going to look like, and that'll start popping up here over the next, you know, month or two. But yeah, it's rough, and
there's nothing
to this group. So
yeah, what a
rebuild.
Changes
are going to be minor. I mean, like I said, I think Stahl's gone. You probably find somebody else. Maybe they flip Frost and find some other fucking 50-point good character guy to throw in there, some Ryan Poehling clone. You know, that stuff wouldn't surprise me. But as far as, like, you know, paying Sam Reinhart $12 million a year to show up and play for him. It's not going to happen. Doesn't matter how much sense it makes. Doesn't matter if they should or not. They're not going to.
If you're pushing for a playoff, you have to move the needle somewhere. You can't keep this roster. And that's the thing. I'm very interested to see how badly they lose in the first round to see how the front office will respond. Because, like, what kind of alarm set off if they get swept? Say they play Carolina in the first series and Carolina just, you know, shows the fuck up and they don't. Or they're not, you know, they're in over their heads, I should say, and just get fucking swept. They cannot get a win and they're gone immediately. You know, what does Danny Briere do then? Nothing? He doesn't get rid of anyone?
I don't think they do anything.
I
don't think the season... The conclusion of the storyline of this season, no matter how it ends at this point, I don't think matters. If they miss the playoffs by 3 or 4 points, or if they make the playoffs by 3 or 4 points and then get curb stomped by Carolina, it's the same conclusion.
I guess you're right.
It's just, you know, they overexceeded expectations. I mean, whatever that may be. And if they make the playoffs, it's just extra gravy. But at the end of the day, they've picked their path against a real rebuild. That's what this season was. And it's about now whether or not they take the proper steps to build forward this summer. And I don't believe they will. And as I noted on Freaking Flyer when this topic came up, that's not necessarily a shot against Briere. That's a shot against the Philadelphia Flyers organization that hasn't made a notable move since Chris Pronger in 2009.
Yeah.
You know, this is just a 10-year-long slog of doing absolutely nothing. So there's no recent... you know, history to just assume that they're going to do something crazy this summer. They should, especially if you're trying to convince me you're a playoff team and all your fucking prospects gets thrown to the side. There's no reason why you shouldn't be looking to make serious upgrades this year. But I just don't believe they're going to. And, like, I need to see it to believe it, and I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to go, well, this year was gravy. We're in year one of a rebuild. Everything is amazing and fantastic and wonderful, and we got a great culture, and they're going to run it back nearly identically. I think down the line, this is going to cause a big problem. It's Hextall all over again. We're going to keep pushing the same message long after that message expires, and it's going to cost him his job. But for the short term here, it's a great sales pitch because they don't have to do anything. They exceeded expectations with this group of ragtag idiots led by John Tortorella. They can do it again next year.
It's short-term gains. That's been the Flyers' MO for the last few seasons, short-term gains. I'm going to do this thing that's going to seem really popular. I'm going to bring the goal song back. We're going to bring the double logos back. We're going to get those asses in seats. We're going to have another stadium series. It's going to be great. It's going to look great, even though they got curb stomped that weekend. Even though they're not with, like, the team itself they have the depth. They don't have the talent to make any type of significant progress. And like you said, we've been playing with house money. So, you know, if they get to the playoffs, it's just bonus.
Yep.
If they lose, you know, whatever. So it's hard to feel very excited for this team. I'm just feeling, you know, it's a very much like a whatever happens, happens, and they're going to make the decisions they make, and I can't control it. And I'm just going to
watch Rome burn.
That's really where it is. Like, I'm not even mad anymore. And I wasn't really mad to begin with. Like,
I passed mad years ago. Now it's just completely numb to this whole situation.
Just apathy.
Yeah.
Just apathetic. Just whatever. Just okay. Like, great. This team's fun. There's some cool highlights. There's been a couple fun games to watch this season. So I guess, you know, the Flyers have made me feel a little something, but it's not like anything where
they're still not building for a better future.
Like, I'm excited for the Philly season just
working
because
kind of hard
be good.
Getting into the playoffs to get blown out of the water by a team just to run it back in near entirety next season and have the same result doesn't do it for me.
No,
doesn't fucking do it for me. We should have learned our lesson when they did it in 2018, and then we should have learned a lesson again when they did it in 2020, but nope. They're going to do it for a third time. And all we can do is fucking sit here and watch it happen.
Yep. At this point, that's all that we can do. And I mean, it stinks because we're going to probably piss away some maybe promising careers of Tyson Forrester, Owen Tippett, Bobby Brink. Probably Emil Andre is going to get his, Ollie Lexell, Ronnie Adder. They're all going to have their careers pissed away. While people like Sean Couturier and... any of these people, honestly, Travis Sanheim, Joel Farabee, all just get paydays and you know, play decent hockey, make some decent points, but nothing that will really do anything to excite the fan base in a meaningful way. I'm glad to see Tyson Forrester has had a decent year and has like grown and developed against all odds, like you said. Just wish you got to see that from some other people, especially the year one of rebuild. I didn't want any pressure in the season, but now it just feels like we were talking about before, it's all the pressure, and there shouldn't be as much pressure. We should just be having fun and going out there and just playing. Like, if they were just doing this and it was all fun and games and like they were winning games that way, I'd be probably a little happier about this. But the way they've just been handling the benchings and just been handling these teammates is just absolutely baffling. I just don't think it's going to lead to anything positive in the future.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine where they go from here. And one last thing we'll touch upon. Wayne Simmonds has officially retired from the hockey. And yep. Will retire as a Flyer, what, April 13?
Yep, against the Devils.
You know, I've thought about this a couple times over the last couple years at this point, but, you know, guys like Wayne Simmonds and Claude Giroux, they're probably going to be the last favorite players that I ever have for the Flyers. I just... And I realize, you know, I'm completely fucking jaded to this team after the last 10 years and just could not care less. Cold as fucking ice when it comes to giving a shit about the Flyers, but I just cannot ever imagine feeling like I did with those guys ever again. And it's just, you know, I'm sure somebody someday will come along that's kind of neat, and if they're ever competitive again in our lifetime and can form those memories, you know, maybe there'll be something. But man, does it not ever feel like those good old days are going to be replicated anymore. And
sure. I can understand your point of view on that. I mean, I think all the magic kind of got sucked away on that last Drew game, honest to God. I think once he was traded away, and it all felt kind of like, what am I looking forward to? You know, I got into this team because of Drew and Wayne Simmonds and even Sean Couturier and Jake Voracek, you know. I loved watching those guys. I was so excited to watch the Flyers 2011-2012 season. Just amazing group of people. Drew just had a passion that, God, I still wish I would see him win a cup in a Flyers uniform. I just still wish it, even though it's never going to happen. Like, it's just so upsetting to see that we're now kind of in the remains of what could have been a great hockey era. That was just pissed away because they never wanted to move the needle in the right way. And now it's just, you know, years and years and years of heartbreak for what? And now we don't have anyone down the pipeline besides Bischkov. And that's the thing, is if he comes down, if here.
2 years from now, if he can leave Russia, if he can show up and actually transition to the NHL, if he can, you know, be that guy. And it's all down the line.
So
it doesn't even matter. And even like, if he is, like, it's one guy. You know, I've used the comparison with Connor McDavid before. The Oilers have McDavid and Draisaitl and fucking nothing else notable in that team. You know, they can make it to the playoffs. They can get carried by them into the playoffs with semi-decent goaltending from Stuart Skinner. But it's just not enough. You know, you need a Tampa-quality team. You need a Vegas-quality team to really win a cup these days. You know, so even if Mitchkov shows up and he's the greatest fucking player of all time and you're icing him up with Joel Farabee and Owen Tippett, it's not going to matter. Just isn't going to matter.
It seems like the Panthers really took a hard look at themselves after their Stanley Cup disappointment. And they look good. You know, I think they're going to make a real deep run this time around. I'm very curious to see.
They're winning the cup this year.
You think so? Mm-hmm. I'd put
granted,
money on
I've
that.
Been predicting that for the last 7 years now, but
so I think it's either Panthers. My weird dark horse is Carolina.
I think Vegas is winning again.
You think they're gonna do a double?
Everyone's gonna magically come back healthy from the playoffs. They got that fucking super team there that can beat anybody.
It'd be really interesting to see. I'm kind of interested to see once we kind of get past the Flyers and their season's over.
I would love if Carolina won though.
See, I would, but then you give Tony D'Angelo and Brendan Lemieux rings, and I'm just not. I just can't.
It was my first favorite team, the Carolina Hurricanes.
They're a good team. I would love to see Brenda Moore get a
framed autographed Eric Stahl jersey in my bedroom.
I do remember. You do love Eric Stahl.
I do love Eric Stahl.
Yeah, I don't blame you. They'd be a great team. I'd love to see. I wouldn't mind seeing Vegas win again, but I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with that opinion. I would love to see Florida win.
I love what Vegas does. I love it.
Yeah, I don't.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I don't mind it. It is what it is. They're just playing the game.
They're smart.
That's not bad. Like, people, I think, who get butthurt about that are bad that the other teams didn't think to do the same exact thing and that we're sitting on our fucking hands and not moving any needles. Same exact thing with a lot of the other teams who probably didn't have the most stellar trade deadlines. It's the same thing. So, I don't know. We'll see Vegas, Florida, or maybe Carolina lift a cup. I'm definitely interested to see how they kind of destroy the Flyers if we do get to go into the playoffs. But going back to the little Simmons thing, though, I'm going to miss him. I mean, he's gone for a long time, and I already missed him from – I got to actually the honor to see that Stadium Series game. It was his last game, and that's one of my favorite Flyers memories was that Stadium Series game and seeing him one last time. So I'm going to try and see if I can get tickets to go. This will be my first Flyers game in 2 years. So maybe I'll get to see, get to relive those memories. And, it's like that nostalgia feel that everyone sees when they see their favorite movie. Well, maybe a few years ago, seeing their favorite movie get rebooted. And they're like, wow, look at all these shiny colors. all these shiny colors of these things that I remembered when I was a kid. At least I'll get that. Maybe my cock will move just a little bit in the right direction then, but right now it's soft, softer than I don't know what the fuck is soft, a pillow.
Oh god.
Ugh.
On that note, everyone, I'll call it a day here. I'll be back with Nick on Thursday night for post game against whoever they're playing on Thursday.
Carolina.
There you go. Friggin' Flyer on Sunday. And people will be here next week, I'm sure.
Someone. Anyone. I'm begging you. coming off the street.
plenty shit at the website, burlypuck.com, at DinTheFlyFan, burlypuck, _pod, DinTheFlyFan, _jerseys over on Instagram. And, Papa!
My Twitter handle is Papa Flyer, spelled as it is. You can just listen to my fucking takes. I don't know. No, I'll never have a good sign off. I never will. It's just going to not happen. It's just so awkward. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you. I'm glad I have your approval.
All right, everyone. Until next time, goodbye and good night.